Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, guys. Strikeout Bros. Check it out. This is episode 12, season 2. A lot has gone on. Wow. I don't even know where to start. Nah, I know where to start. I'm just fucking with you guys. We're going to start with the Rafael Devers shit. What's going on, Lash? What's going on?
Oh, you know, this trade sounds very familiar to like the one that the Red Sox did a couple years ago when they traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Similar. And you just question yourself, why they always develop a star and then they trade him away. I don't understand what they're doing. But maybe they know something I don't know. But
yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
Even with them trading him, they're still alive for the playoffs. So who knows? We'll see.
Listen, this is crazy to me. I don't know. This is the guy that's hitting, you know? This is the guy that's carrying this team on his back. Yeah, there were a lot of words, you know, thrown between him and the management, you know. And because this is what happened, all right. So, for some reason, in the offseason, Alex Bregman, who was an amazing third baseman, I don't know why he was out there for so long. But I thought he wasn't going to get the job. I thought the Mets were going to pick him up, to be honest with you. I think. Like, towards the end, I was like, damn, you know, that would be a great fit for us at third. You know what I'm saying? And look at us now, struggling at the third base position. You know what I'm saying? So that would have been perfect, you know? But look, he got hurt. But, you know, you never know. He got hurt over there. Maybe it wouldn't have happened if he was in New York. I don't know. But anyway, the Red Sox decided, after getting all that pitching and having Devers there already, they decided that they wanted to go after Bregman as well. I'm like, these guys, they want to win. Mm-hmm. So they want to win. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Now you read it. It's all over the paper. It's all over everywhere. The paper. You hear me? Like, I'm on a train and shit reading the paper. That's the old school me. You know, straight to the sports and then get to my location. And then I'll never read the rest of the paper. But anyway, this fucking guy gets traded. He's the man. Right. And the reason why he gets traded is because they told him, you're not going to be playing third anymore. When they signed him for that $313 million for a 10-year contract, they said, you're going to be the third baseman for the rest of your time here. He was like, are you okay? When Bregman showed up, he's a better, you know, if you look at the numbers are there. Bregman is way better. Yeah, exactly. Defensively. So we had to remove you, Mr. Devers, from third. You're going to be the DH now. He got upset at that shit. So, you know, they had their words, but he said, all right, I'm going to DH. So he took that really seriously. I mean, he didn't stop hitting. It wasn't like, you know, he was having problems hitting. Throughout all this shit that was going on, he was still hitting. So that's why I think he's amazing, because he didn't let it get to him. Now, guess what happens? The first baseman, he goes down for the whole year. Casas, right? That's his name?
Casas, yeah.
He goes down for the whole year.
He's a good player, too.
Right, he's a good player, too. So you know what happens now? Here, you go. Here we go again. Baseman. You got to play first, Mr. Devers. He said, fuck you. You told me I was going to be the DH. I'm not using my glove this year. Yeah. And he continues to rake and continues to hit the ball like a maniac. All right? Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they have to figure that situation out over there. So they're like, wow. So now we're having serious problems with this guy. But this guy's hitting. Yo, and then after sweeping the Yankees, they said, you know what? Boom. This guy's a San Francisco Giant now. I mean, listen, the Giants are happy. Listen, any team that picks this guy up is going to be exactly. For I'm not, you know, listen, I don't know. I was going to say the wrong word. I was going to say for garbage, but I'm not going to say that. You know what I'm saying? Right now, if you want to win right now and you have this guy on your team, yo, you're doing something right. And he's hitting like a maniac? Come on, man. I don't know. You tell me.
And what the Giants were... And the Giants were looking for a player because, you know, the biggest guy they have, the two main guys they have are Chapman and Adames, but they're not threats at the plate. Rafael Devers is a threat at the plate, even though he's not a big guy, but he can hit the ball hard and he, you know, he launches them out.
Yeah, he does.
And he plays a good – and he has a good defense. But San Francisco picked him up more for his bat than his defense because they need – they need a big bat that someone to try and get him over. They think he's the last piece that can get him over. They have good pitching. The pitching staff is good, and everybody on the offense is pitching, producing the second baseman, the shortstop that they got from Korea, Jung-Ho Lee. He's been amazing for them, and he's been a rookie. He's been doing well. Chapman's doing okay. He's having a mediocre year, but and then Adames, who came over from Milwaukee, he's been all right. You know, he hasn't been.
Yeah, I like him though. I like him.
He hasn't been what he was in Milwaukee offensively, but he's got good. He's good defensively.
Yes, he is.
So they got him more for his defensive prowess than anything else. But they're just missing that big power bat. If you look at all the teams that are good, the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers. And even the Cubs, where they all have, they have one big guy, two or three guys that can really hit home runs. Alonso, Judd, Soto, Swanson in Chicago, Curl Armstrong. I'm just listing some guys that are a threat to hit a home run.
Yeah, Schwarber, Harper.
Kyle Schwarber in Philadelphia, Harper, as you know, the Mets just faced them, which is a challenge. But when you have multiple guys like that, it forces you to, same thing with the Mets, you know, Soto, Alonso, Lindor, you got to be careful who you're going to pitch to and who do you want to pitch to. And whoever you decide, you're going to have to be careful because your chances of making a mistake between those three guys, there's a 60% chance you're going to make a mistake to one of those three guys, if not all three in a game. But anyway, so back to San Francisco. So they made the trade. I literally the guys they traded their second, you know, middle of the pack rotation guys, so that's why they were willing to part ways. And they can either call up other guys in the farm system pitch, or maybe they have a plan to get more pitching in the trade deadline because they're right there. You know, they're right behind the Giants and the Dodge. You know, the Padres have been slumping a little bit.
Yeah, you know what happened?
All three of them. It's a three-team race over there.
Yeah, but you know what happened over there? This is what happened, okay? The Dodgers, right, they were slumping. They were having problems. They have problems pitching. You know that Ohtani pitched today. I got to take a look because I haven't even gotten a chance to look.
His first game, he only pitched two innings.
Yeah, two innings. He wasn't so good. Yeah, not so good. But he pitched today again for the second time because, you know, they have problems with the pitching. All their pitching went down, just like the Mets. The Mets have the same problem. But the funny thing about the Dodgers is that, right, you know, the San Francisco was right behind them. San Diego was there on top of them as well, right? So guess what? San Diego had to face them, I think, in seven games, right? So it was like a three, and then after they played that, they played the Giants, and then they played San Diego again. And guess what? The Dodgers won every single series, all right, to show them who's the boss and who belongs on top. It's crazy, all right? The problem with the Mets is that we just had that same setup. And we're not doing so good. We get swept by Atlanta. We just lost the series to the Phillies, and now we're coming back home to face Atlanta for four more. Right? Atlanta is 10 games back, but, you know, let's see what happens. It's pretty crazy. But listen, Devers got, you know, he's in a situation now where he feels like he can win over there. He's happy now. He's like, I'm glad I'm out of there, you know, but he's still on a competitive club, and he's on a team that can actually, you know, do something and get into the playoffs as well. So he's not, that's not a bad situation for him at all.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad situation, but I'm surprised Boston's still doing decently well considering the fact they got rid of him. When they got rid of him, they were on a winning streak. They swept the Yankees last weekend. It was in Boston, yeah. They took three, swept in, and they were on a little streak. Maybe they trade them at the wrong time. Who knows? Maybe they trade them at the right time. Maybe they're getting hot. They're just staying afloat. It's going to be hard for them to make the wild card. There's just too many teams ahead of them. The AL West is it's kind of like a three-team race, I guess you can say.
Yeah, Arizona's there too. Arizona's
still. No, I'm talking about the American League West.
American League West. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
It's American League West. You got Texas, Seattle, and what's the other team? Texas, Seattle, and Houston.
The Angels.
Sorry, duh.
They're
a tough team. The Angels. They're like the Nationals. They're gonna
play tough,
but they're not gonna make the playoffs. But Houston, Texas, but Texas has been a big disappointment, man. Not to get off track, because they have a good starting staff. Their offense is just like the Orioles, just non-productive, nowhere to be found. They got good hitters too, you know. They got I forgot the catcher name, Jonah Heim, I think, and they got Adolis Garcia, and you know, they got all these other guys in this. Just I don't know, they're just not producing. It's weird, but as far as Boston, they do have a chance, but
they're not going to win the division.
American leagues are running away.
Tampa
Bay is hot right now.
Tampa Bay's hot right now. Yo, they're like, what? Last I looked, they were 1.5 games out of first.
They're 1.5 games out of the Yankees.
Yankees. Yeah, 1.5.
I'm looking right now at the current standings. Yeah, they're 2.5 out, so that means they lost out today. Yeah, because they lost. But
that's close. That's close.
Boston, Toronto, wow.
They're all close, except for you guys. You guys are 10 back, but you guys are six games out of the wild card.
500.
Yeah, but the wild card is still there, man. 6 games. You can fight for that and then work your way back into the division, because I don't think it's over. You guys have had a great June. We're going to be talking about that in a second. We're going to be talking about how deep, and I'm proud of you guys. You guys are doing something. You know what? Because it's funny, when my team is down, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, man. So everybody at work knows that Mets ain't doing well. Pablo's not doing well. You know what I'm saying? Because I wear it on my sleeve.
Craig's like that too.
Yeah, Craig's like that too. You know, that's my boy. You know, he's a diehard Mets fan. He gets upset, man. Listen, the Mets ain't doing well. We don't want to talk about it, you know? The chat is down.
When I get mad, I just start cursing out my team. I was so mad the other day, man, going back to ball. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you about it.
It's crazy.
But this deal is a good deal.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Listen, let's go. Of course, the Giants are getting a man that's batting .267 right now with 16 home runs, 61 RBIs. That's tied for fourth. So you already know Alonso's up there. This is a lot of RBIs for this time of the season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the home runs. And listen, 16 home runs already. So what are we looking at? Almost 40 home runs by the end of the year? You know?
Yeah, on pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. So,
well, who knows? That doesn't factor in slumps and cold streaks.
Of course, they go
by what's currently present. Currently, it's like Judge. He's currently batting 350, 380 average. He's just dipped below 400, but for now, he's still batting well. So we don't know.
Man, listen. All I can tell you is that I think Baltimore. Listen. When you look at, you gotta look at what's happening now in the, you know, recently, because you can't look at the whole picture and say, all right, yeah, of course they had a bad start, all right, and they had a lot of problems. They didn't sign, you know, some high caliber pitching. So we kind of knew. You said it yourself. We kind of knew what was gonna happen. But look now, you gotta look at the picture. Let's look at just June, all right. We're gonna look at a couple of teams in the month of June, and we're going to see the changes, all right, and what's happening out there. We're going to look at Baltimore. We're going to look at Atlanta. We're going to look at the Mets. And we're going to talk about what's happening in the month of June for those three teams. And it's pretty deep, all right? So Baltimore, I think they're 12-8, okay?
As of today, yeah.
As of today, okay, which is amazing, okay? Let me tell you something. They swept Seattle. They swept the Angels. Coming into the month, because they had to play.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The White Sox on the 1st of June, going into the month, they swept those guys too, right? So they double swept two teams back to back. Seattle's a tough out. The Chicago, that was supposed to happen, all right? You were supposed to dominate, right? The Angels, like you said, they're not going to make the playoffs. So you did your job there, right? And then you played Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, four-game series. You guys split that. Tampa Bay is on fire right now. For you to be able to do that, that's amazing.
All right? Yeah.
But now, this is the problem. I'm sorry, but this is the problem. This is where I have a serious problem. You play the A's. Sacramento, Las Vegas, whatever the A's. You know what I'm saying? And you let them beat you in a series. That wasn't supposed to happen. That kind of like killed the momentum. All right? And then, man.
Detroit is Detroit.
Of course. Detroit is Detroit. You know what I'm saying? But you still snuck one in. You know what I'm saying? You snuck one in there. All right? You snuck one in there. But the problem to me that really bothered me was today. The 11:35 game. The 11:35 game today really pissed me off. Because I was rooting for you guys. I was like, yo, you can take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, then you're going to have a really, really good month. 13-7. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, so they if out of the 6 games remaining in the month of June, if they win 2 out of the 6, they'll finish with a winning record. So they got Texas and Tampa Bay. Those are tough teams. Texas has been struggling. I think we could beat them. Tampa Bay, they're a division rival, so you know you're gonna play them tough. They're gonna play you tough, so it could go either way. But, you know, what's kind of changed for Baltimore lately has been their starting rotation. The bullpen has been really well. The ERA has gone down. They're getting good starts out of starters. You know, Dean Kramer, who pitched today, man.
Yeah.
I want to know. In a big year, but he had the last 3 games, he leaves the game with the lead, and then they can't close it or they blow it, and it's just like, fuck.
Yeah, so what the fuck happened today? Like, in the bottom of the 8th,
they just 3 gave up 3 runs, and it just won, you know, just bad plays defensively, more, you know, in the outfield, you know, bad throws, not hitting the guy. You know, he threw the ball to the, I don't know who the hell he threw it to. He should have thrown it to second base, but he didn't. So allowed the guy to get to second. And then there was a play where the 2 runs that scored when it became 4-2 or 3-2. I thought the guy was out, but stupid Sanchez dropped the ball. And even if Sanchez had caught the ball and tagged him, he would have gotten in trouble for blocking the plate. But it didn't matter. He didn't catch the ball, and Chisholm scored. So that was good for the Yankees, at least. But, yeah, just, you know, just today's game was based on defensive blunders, you know. It's just like, and then the other problem is in the top of the 8th, it was tied 2-2. Man on first and second, no out, and nothing happened. It's like you got to score when, you know, given the chance, but they just couldn't do it. So the offense is still, crazy. In my opinion, not out of the woods. The games they've won so far, why they're 12-7 is because they're playing well defensively. Pitching-wise, they've been playing well. Defensively, they've been playing pretty well, too. Mullins just came back into the rotate, you know, into the outfield, so that helps. But so they've been pitching is what's really helped them great. You know, Felix Bautista's doing well. He's been closing games out, so he hasn't been a problem. So that's good. And then, you know, the middle relief has been their biggest weakness. Anthony Dominguez, Soto, all these, you know, guys who struggle. Like Baker was doing well until today. And then Baker's weird, man. He'll go like three or four games, lights out, and he'll come into a game like Yankees game and just fucking, you know, just mess up the game. So he's inconsistent. But but the thing is, the offense still has not gone hot yet. We haven't seen the numbers from Rutschman. Now he's going to be out. We haven't seen Henderson do anything. Holiday's been doing okay. He's just, you know, he's a line drive hitter. Mountcastle's out. You know, Ramon Urias isn't doing crap. Tyler O'Neill should be coming back. So the only guy that's been producing is, what's his name? Ryan O'Hearn. And he's going to be their all-star, I think, the only all-star for the Orioles. He's been great, but it's the same thing with the Mets. You can't just rely on Alonso to carry you all the way. You need other help, and Baltimore's relying on Hearns, and it's not working. So yeah. The other guys get hot, great. If they don't, but we'll see. But I have hope because, you know, I always say once you're 10 games under 500, it's going to be hard to climb up, man. It just really is. So for them to make it to the playoffs by All-Star game, they need to be at least 4 or 5 games under 500 to consider maybe trading. But they're getting their pitchers back. They can get Rodriguez back in the July, August. They can get Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells back. So maybe those guys, who I don't know what those guys are going to be. You're only going by what happened last year, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Manaea in the Mets, you know. He did great last year, but we don't know what he's going to be like this year coming off of an injury.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see, because if those guys come back and they do well, you know, I do believe that one does feed off the other. It's more noticeable in football than baseball. But if you see that you're – like today's game, those guys must be chapped, man, because Kramer gave it all, man. He was killing the Yankees. To give up one run in 7 innings, and they needed that because
that's amazing.
Worn out, and then they just – and the Yankees are a good lineup, man. I don't care. I think they're a better lineup than last year.
Because of course they are.
They got, you know,
they got threats.
Bellinger's starting to get hot now. Judge. Now, we kind of contained Judge for the most part, so that was good. Yeah, we walked some. But he struck out a couple times. We did go after him. It's not like we just walked him the whole time. Chisholm had a great series. I think he's the one that carried the Yankees in this series for the Yankees. But, in a Friday's game, you know, they won in a lucky home run that would not happen in most stadiums. 5-3. I don't know. I'm worried that we woke up a sleeping giant. You know, I think the Yankees are back to their. You know, I'm not going to panic like the Yankee fans are.
No. Sometimes you have to panic. You know, it's
hard. Like,
his division. I mean, everybody's getting close. You know, Tampa Bay's a threat, bro. They're a threat.
Oh, Tampa Bay is going nowhere.
Nah. You say that, but nah.
I mean, in the sense of like. They're not gonna just walk away and just not be a bother. They're gonna be up here
pesky the whole time. Of course.
Yeah, that's what I mean by not going.
Okay, away. Got you. All right, like now we agree.
They're gonna be on your back. Like, right, you gotta watch out for them.
We agree.
They're the threat to the Yankees.
Yes, sir. I agree. Always
and
have
Boston
been.
Too, because yeah, they lost one player, but they haven't. What's the disappointing thing about Boston? They have a really good rotation.
Yes, they do.
And you were the one that predicted, oh, Boston should be good because they have a good rotation. I was like, oh, you're right. But the offense has been lackluster, man. Durant has been okay. Now they don't have Devers. Cedeño Rafaela, he's the outfielder, I think. He's all right, but he's a young guy. Durant, they need other guys to produce. So who knows how long this starting pitching can carry you. But it's the Yankees' division to take. I think they're going to win it in a landslide. It just sucks. Toronto is not a threat. Tampa Bay, they'll make the wild card probably. And then Baltimore, they're so far behind that it's like it's going to be an uphill battle for them. So at this point, I'm just hoping they just make it. They finish the season at 500. But I could be wrong. Who knows? If they get all these pitchers back and they start playing well, that's the nice thing about baseball. There's two seasons, you know. But it's hard because you and I live by the moment because we don't know what the next half of the season is going to be. You know, yeah. You're like, oh, wow, my team is doing great. See, the thing in baseball, Buck Showalter was saying this. He goes, when you go into your struggles, you want to shorten that struggle as much as you can. And when you're going through great times, you want to stretch it out as long as you can, you know. And I was like, wow, that's a good way to put it, or minimize the damage in that time that you're losing or winning. But I don't know what the problem was with Baltimore. Firing the manager didn't do much because it's not like, yeah, they got a little better, but Buck Showalter, Hyde wasn't the problem. Like I said, managers to me have no effect on the game, but that's just my opinion.
I mean, listen, I don't know. That depends on the type of owner and the type of GM, what type of system you have going on, Because, back in the day, the manager, really put the lineup together and actually made the decisions when it came to running and moving players around and stuff like that. Like, where's the lineup coming from? Is it coming from upstairs and Mendoza's just handing it in? Or is probably. He... I mean, probably.
Does he have input? That's the
question. Yeah, exactly. Does he have input? Oh, he probably doesn't. He probably doesn't.
Because, listen, here's the reason why. Because the way they the way these owners hire people nowadays, they say, listen, we believe in analytics. They've sold their soul to the analytics. You, in order for us to hire you, you have to fully be invested and believe in this. You cannot have any pushback. Are you willing to have pushback? Yes or no? Oh, you are going to have pushback? Okay, we're not going to hire you. And that's why, it's true. That's why they took Buck Showalter out of New York.
Because
he's old school. He's going to push back. Now, he got away with it. They let him try it. I said, we'll give it a shot, see if he can win. He had a great first year with them. And then after that, injuries cost him. And then that was it. But he's the rare exception. And in my opinion, Brian Snicker might be out in Atlanta if he doesn't
make the playoffs. We already know what's going to happen to Brian Snicker. They already told him that he's not going to be the manager next year. He's going to get an office job there. But they're not going to disrespect him, because he's
he's been with the organization since he was in the minors.
50 years, man. 50 years.
But either way, so going back to baseball, with the Mets, they had a great first three and a half months, they've been on fire, and they hit a rut. But see, the good thing with the Mets is that this is why it's important to have a big lead, a big cushion, because if you do hit a rut, like in reality, the Mets really haven't lost much. And yeah, they lost game, but they haven't lost a lot of ground. Yeah, they end up losing the division, the division lead, but they're not far out. Like they're only one and a half out. So it's doable. They just get back on a new streak. Philadelphia loses a couple games. You're back in first place. So it's okay. It sounds panicky because, we live in a moment. We're like, when's this going to end? Especially when you have a 7-game losing streak and, Baltimore had the same issue. And it's like, when are you going to win? And you don't, when you're going through a streak, you're like, there's no way they're going to put off 8 games. And, look what happened to Baltimore. They won 6 in a row.
I know. It's crazy.
Who knows? The Mets could go on an 8-game winning streak. They do have an easier schedule after Atlanta. It gets a little lighter. But the thing is, I was saying in a group message earlier, reason why it bothers me about losing the Yankees, we're so far behind. But if you want to get to 500, you got to beat your
teams.
You might not win division, but if you beat them, it's going to help you get closer
ground,
to the wild
gain
card.
Ground. Yeah.
Gain ground. And same thing with ground. The Mets. I'm sorry, but Philadelphia's they're not world beaters, in my opinion. Yeah, they're a good team. They got good offense. But their bullpen has just always been ass. They've never had a good bullpen. They're mediocre at best. But because their pitching is good, and their starting pitching is all right, but their lineup has been carried them so far.
Yeah, I like that team. Listen, I like them a lot, but obviously I don't want them to win. But I like that team. They're tough, bro. They're tough. They're a scary team. Especially when Harper's in the lineup. Nah, they're not, you can't fuck with them.
But it's weird because they lost to Castellanos for the year, I think. Right? Is he the one that's out, Castellanos? I think he's out, right? Nick Castellanos? No, not Castellanos. Somebody's on Philadelphia. He's been out for a while. Let me look.
Trey Turner's there. Bryce Harper's out right now.
I know.
Bryce Harper's out right now. Schwarber played today. He got a home run today. Realmuto played, right? Yeah, I think so.
I'm looking right now.
Oh, yeah, man. While you look, I'm going to start talking about what I don't want to talk about. And I don't understand how it happened. I don't know what's going on, but I guess the Mets are trying to, they're almost seeing it the way I do, and it's kind of like moving in my favor, because I'm like, all right, now they're starting to see that this is not working. So we have to fix this problem. We have to get rid of this person.
What's not working?
Like a lot of things. A lot of things that the Mets are doing right now aren't working for me. And I'm going to explain to you why. All right, but listen, I don't understand how, you know, you start off June, you play the Dodgers, you know, you do well, right? You play, you know, you take 7 games from Colorado, you take 3 straight from Washington, you know, you're destroying teams left and right, like destroying teams, right? So we double sweep, right? We double sweep, and then Tampa Bay. And I'm like, you know, I'm like,
oh, that's right. You finished the home stand with Tampa. I forgot about
that. Yeah, we played Tampa Bay, bro. Tampa Bay in New York. They swept us, bro. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't believe it. The pitching hit a wall. I don't know what happened. Listen, then we played Atlanta right after that. Atlanta swept us too. 6 in a row right there. Then the first game against the Phillies, because you know, it got tough because we're like, all right, now we're going to play the division. Now we have to play for keeps, you know, so we could drown them. That's not what happened, bro. That's not what happened. They drowned us, you know. And look, we just lost today. We lost a series after playing a great game yesterday and getting 7 home runs. Soto had 2 home runs. Nemo had 2. Lindor had 1. Lindor had another one today, but that wasn't enough. We lost the series. You know, so we're back to the same shit. And now we have to play Atlanta at home for 4 games. For some reason, we can't beat Atlanta at their place. At Truist Park, we cannot beat those guys over there. For some reason, the Mets are scared to play in Atlanta. I don't know what it is. But it's okay.
That first game versus Atlanta, I was meeting up with my friend Nick. We were watching Game 6 of Stanley Cup, and had the game on at the bar we went to. And I was like, oh, man, they're going to freaking lose. You know, I was like, oh, Mets going to win this game. There was 4-1 going to the ninth. What was it, ninth inning, eighth inning? And they just freaking fell. I was like, what the hell is going on? And they just fell apart. And then, you know, everyone's screaming, hollering. I was like, and because I was watching the hockey game, all of a sudden, I was like, what the hell? Because they had most of the hockey game on in that bar. And all of a sudden, I hear everyone screaming. I look over to the screen, the next TV, and I was like, oh, shit, they tied the game. And they're just like a bunch of like, holy smokes. But that game they lost due to defensive playing, fielding errors, in my opinion, more than the bullpen. But that was a lucky win. That was a game they should have lost. Atlanta should have lost. Mets, because, you know, it does help having momentum, because as the Mets, you know you struggle. The Mets know they struggle. And if you have taken that game, it would have changed the whole momentum of that series, in my opinion.
Of course, of course.
And then they end up having to play Chris Sale in the last game of the series, and he smoked him. But and then he got hurt, so now that's fucking washed. But either way, it just took that first game, it literally took the sails out of the Mets' momentum. And they struggled, left Atlanta struggling, and then it's weird, man. I don't know why. It's so weird. They're like the Mets remind me of the Orioles. The Orioles, they always struggle against the Yankees. They cannot beat the Yankees to save their lives. I don't know what it is. They get intimidated. They just, they just get scared, and they don't play to their capability, and they just let the Yankees slap them around and score 1,000 runs. And then, you know, as a fan, it drives me crazy because, you know, to me, the Yankees are the elite of the division. Just like in the National League, the Braves in the past have been the lead of the division,
They were.
As of now, you know, but right now it's the Mets, but because they're in first place. But so that's why I was like, oh, they're going to win. They should be able to at least take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta.
Yeah, no easily, problem. Easily.
And then it's weird because it's like the Mets, like fucking, they're like the jump pack. They just like restarted the Braves offense and they got together. But then Atlanta went to South Beach and got too drunk, I guess, and fucking lost 2 out of 3. So who knows?
I don't know what's happening right now. It's like
baseball everything is such a weird sport, man.
Especially this year, this is so weird to me, man. Listen, the Phillies, but the Phillies are 11-9 for the month of June. You know,
which is crazy. You know,
which is crazy, right now.
And they're still first place. Well, now they are.
But now they are right. So now, look, listen, they got swept by Pittsburgh, bro. Right. And then they lost a series to Toronto, right? At the beginning of the month. But then they got revenge, yes. Bro. And they got revenge, yeah. And they took the second series, you know what I'm saying? By sweeping them. They swept Toronto the second time around, right? So they started off the season 13-13, 5 games behind the Mets, right? Then they went 23-6 in the next 29 games, which is ridiculous. This is how they started catching up, you know? And then they were waiting for us to make a mistake because they were hot. That was hot. 23-6 is amazing. And then in the last 22, they're 11-12. You know what I'm saying? So that's not that bad. You know, they're definitely going to be a problem for the Mets. And the Mets better be careful. You better be careful before they end up looking at the wild card like, this is what we got to get. You know, like, get out of here with that. That division is yours, yo. Do not lose it. You know?
Yeah, you don't see, and what we learned from this past playoffs, being a wild card team is not a good thing. Every wild card team, at least from last year, I think, all fell out in the first round. So being a wild card team is not an advantage anymore.
No, that's not true. No, not true. Like, well, listen, you can get on and go the way it's happened. We've seen it happen.
Well, Mets were the wild card team, right, last year? Or they won? No, you guys were the wild card team. Yeah, so Mets were the only team, that wild card team, that made it as far as they did. You know, everyone else, they lost. You know, Baltimore, Atlanta, and so on and so on. But winning your division is key because then you get that bye week, if that's what you want to call in baseball, bye week to rest you guys.
I mean, resting, you know, listen, I don't know. If I had to pick, I would say, stop, let's play. You know why? Because I want to keep the engine moving. You know, I don't want to, you know, stop, and I don't want to smell the roses. I want to fight, you know? But look, the Mets have a lot of problems right now. Listen, like, the pitching went down. Senga's out, right?
When's he come back, by the way?
Man, I have no idea, man. I don't
know. Did he just come back recently?
Yeah, remember, he got hurt, and he pitched in the playoffs. No, he was there. He was there. And then this is this leg problem again. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. And then McGill, he's gone. Elbow or some bullshit. Listen, he's had like 4 straight horrible starts. Like, they were horrible. And I saw it coming.
Yeah, McGill surprised me, man, because he came out guns blazing in April or March and April. And I was like, oh, wow. He could be a temporary ace until they get
Manaya. No, he was really acing. No, he was really playing like a real ace. And it's crazy because I told you, man, I was like, that's my favorite right now. In the rotation, McGill was doing it, man. Yeah, Canning was dope too. Yeah, and then he hit a wall. I was watching him pitch yesterday. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, bro? He's struggling. And he was smiling,
he's lost control of the ball. It's not necessarily the speed. He's just throwing the ball all over the place. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
He was burning himself out or trying too hard. Or I don't know. Or it could be a thing that he doesn't trust his stuff and it's all psychological. And then you see the hitters are getting on to your pitches. Like, so it's like, fuck, what do, you know?
Yeah.
But I think him and McGill have been the two biggest.
Yeah.
Just this month, it's been a downhill spiral. But, you know.
Man, Holmes too, man. No, listen, the only person Holmes, that's been consistent is Peterson. But not today. Peterson gave up 5 runs in like 4 innings. So
Holmes has been pretty good. He had one rough outing recently.
Yeah, but
him and
Peterson's been great. Yeah, man, I love
Peterson. And the bullpen hasn't been too bad. It just what's the 8th inning guy, Brazoban?
He's struggling. I don't know. Yeah, he's struggling, bro.
He came in the other game against Atlanta. That he's the one. He literally handed us the game in that game on Tuesday. They were up 4-1. He came in. He just gave up 3 runs, and that was the end of the game. I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he's been pretty good. But the Mets had no choice because it was just like you didn't think they were going to need it was not a situation to bring in Diaz, you know, because you're up 4-1. So I was like, you know, let's give the guy a rest and hope that we can use him. But, yeah, but the disappointing thing for the Mets is Soto's starting to get warm. He had 2 home runs. I know you said that yesterday. So
yesterday.
So hopefully that's a good sign. But Alonso has cooled off. McNeil has been hot garbage.
No. You know what's crazy about McNeil? McNeil was had a little stretch where he was okay, where he was doing everything right. But yesterday, oh my God, yesterday, he really pissed me off yesterday. So, you know, like I can see the frustration on his face. You know, he does that huff and puff business. His eyes are wide open and he's struggling. You can see he's talking to himself. And the problem is, you're 0 for 4, brother. And that play back there, did you see that play with Nemo back there? You didn't see that play.
Nemo has been the most consistent besides.
I love Nemo. I love him.
He's the only consistent player. He comes out every day with lunch and hat in the hand, and he's coming to work every day.
Every day, hard.
That's what I like about him.
I love Nemo. Nemo's a
players like him. Foundation. Alonso's like that too, but.
Yeah, he is.
Alonso's more aggressive at the plate than Nemo is.
Yeah, Alonso, a doofy dude, you know what I'm saying? But Nemo's a smart man, you know what I'm saying? It's a difference. It's like Alonso's a big kid that comes to the park, he wants to hit the home run. But Nemo comes to work, he punches in, and he gives you his all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's like the Brett Gardner of the Yankees, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a scrapper.
Exactly. So now check this out, man. So here comes the play, right? So they're crisscrossing, obviously, right? And all I see on the video is McNeil screaming. I can tell he's screaming, I got it, I got it, I got it. And guess what? You know, I'm looking at the play. It's no. It's that they're both running forward, right? So since he's calling, I got it, Nemo, smart. Nemo says, you got it, no problem. He drops his glove. So the ball is aiming right at McNeil's glove. And it touches his glove, and he bobbles it, and he loses it. And Trey Turner comes, gets a double off of that, right?
Oh,
and then the next hit or whatever the fuck happened there, they end up scoring. Right now the game is 5-4. I'm like, we're going to lose this game because of McNeil. He's 0 for 4. And on top of that, he makes this error. Guess what? They didn't take him out, bro. They didn't take him out.
Well, not then. Which is surprising. But who are you going to put in there?
I mean, we have so many options. Listen, I've been fighting. Today in the chat, because, you know, we always chat about, it's like four of us. We're really, you know, deep into this shit. So we get into it. And then anyway, today around 12:37, I believe it. I checked it. I said, what I want to see is Acuna on second, Mauricio on third. When Viento gets back, we'll figure that out. And I want to see, you know, McNeil on the bench. You know what I'm saying? McNeil on the bench. I want to see Beatty on the bench, right? And if anything, you know what? We could get rid of Beatty, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we need to get a better utility player that can... I don't know what we need, to be honest. We need a DH, I think. I don't know. Like, I'm having a problem trying to figure it out. But this is what I asked for. Look, we still lost today. But the point is that I feel like if you put a corner on second base and you keep him there, then it works out because
he will have a DH.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you can either actually what you could do, here's what I would do if I'm the Mets. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not interrupting.
You put Vientos at third, you could put him at third, and then you could put Mauricio or at McNeil's position and have just McNeil be your DH. Or you can switch them around and give the day off. Okay, McNeil, you play the field. Mauricio, you'll be DH today. Or you could have, you know, Acuna be a DH if you had to. But they like him at second, so they're not going to do that.
Okay, now check this shit out. This is what I'm thinking now. Okay, I'm just brainstorming. This is why when you said, sorry to interrupt.
Think about it.
It's not your... Like you exactly.
Work out exactly. The problems.
Exactly. So it wasn't, you wasn't stepping on me. That was, you know, we're brainstorming. So this is what I think. I think that Mauricio is young enough to be able to make him a center fielder. He's lanky, he's long, he's fast. He'd be a great center fielder. It's all about getting him there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's an opportunity that they're missing out on. I don't know. But McNeil definitely has to either sit on the bench or he needs to get paid for his services and shown the door, because I'm done with him. You know what? Off the bench, maybe, because of the fact that he can play the infield and plug that hole if something happens, and he can also plug the hole in center and left. So,
see, that's probably why they don't want to give him, because he can be utilized in many, many different. He can be utilized in different parts of the field. Where
yes.
if he just only could play second, then I think they would have let him go, because probably. He can be utilized. Hey, he can give people breaks. He can give Tyrone yes. Taylor a day off if he had to. He can give Albies a day. Oh, not Albies. Acuna a day off if you need to, or wherever it is.
Yeah.
So he can play around the field if he had to.
Yeah. Too.
Has he ever played first?
I'm not sure about that. Has he ever played first? I'm not sure about that, but I don't think that's not on his resume. His resume, he's a true left fielder and a second baseman. So that's what's on his resume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is why, you know, he's second baseman. So
man.
Exactly. So if we were able to reverse it, right, and make Mauricio a center fielder, then we're plugged up. We're chilling for the rest, you know, for the next 10 years. Because the problem is that you're not giving these guys, you know, stability. Like, you're not letting them rock out. No, not at all. There's none whatsoever. And that's the problem, right? You got to keep a corner on second base. Leave him there, all right? He's fast. He's a threat. You know what I'm saying? Let him hit the ball. And keep him on second. So this way he doesn't get confused, man. It sucks. Nah, for real, man. When you got him playing second one day, then third the next day, he's all fucked up in the head. He doesn't know what.
Guys, I think he's truly a second baseman more than a third baseman.
I agree. Listen,
and it messes people mentally.
Of course it does.
That's the problem with Devers.
Devers, exactly. The same exact thing. So, man, I don't know. I don't know. The lineup is crazy. It's hard to work with, especially with the way they're playing around with it. It seems like there's a platoon at second, there's a platoon at third base, and there's a platoon in center field. And it shouldn't be like that. That's too many platoons. That's not going to give anybody time to grow.
Yeah, and then now the new platoon issue you have now is the catcher.
Oh, man.
But it's not really an issue because Torres isn't fine, so you don't have to find somebody.
Nope, but you don't have to find anything.
Catcher,
hell yeah.
Good. I like Terrence. He's a good love defensive
him.
Catcher.
My dad loves him.
My problem, you know, Alvarez, he doesn't have a home run bat, but he's too aggressive. He doesn't know how to be patient. He swings like a wild man, and that's why he got sent down to Syracuse today.
I mean, I'm glad that happened because he needs that. And, you know, we were losing. Listen, defensively, losing, you know, runs, and I don't know.
Yeah, I've noticed lately, like, he'll have, like, a lot of, like pass balls go behind him. I was like, dude, you should have made that play. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The way he position is the reason why you can't get the ball. Like, how do you, like, geez, man, yeah. A three-year-old could have made that play. All the, you know, but you just, and that, you know, that's what happened a couple times in the Atlanta game. You know, balls got by, the runners advanced, and before you know it, boom, that's what happened in that Tuesday game. Balls got by him. There was another game in, I remember in L.A. Where Beatty threw it to him or whatever, and he got mixed up with the pitcher and who was going to cover the plate, and he bobbled the ball and dropped it, and it's just like, geez. There's no
yeah, he's a hot mess. Yeah, hot mess right now. You know, he's starting to remind me of Travis Darnold. You know, I don't want
geez.
Yeah, that's what he reminds me of right now. He's having a really hard time out there, and I'm glad he got sent down. It's about time. And you know what's funny? The motherfucker hits a home run last night in the ninth inning. Not that run mattered, you know what I'm saying? Because they were all solo shots. Seven home runs, all solo shots.
Wow. I know.
You know, so I'm like, all right, we're back. And then, you know, Nemo gets two, you know what I'm saying? Soto gets two. I'm like, what's going on? And then Dor hits one, you know what I'm saying? Young, Alvarez. This is off the top of my head. I can't remember. But, you know, when I was watching that game, I was loving it. Okay, so the problem with Frankie Montas, right? So you say, oh, yeah, Montas is coming back, man. Listen, I don't know where he's at right now, but let him stay over there. All right, check this guy. This guy.
In Syracuse.
No, yeah, he is in Syracuse. I'm just fucking with you. He's in Syracuse.
I see what you mean.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Let him
exactly. Nah, but check this out, bro. He gave up 8 runs in 1 2/3. Okay? Exactly. His ERA is 13. Exactly. 13.17 and 5 rehab outings, bro. Mendoza is like, yo, I don't know, man. Listen, one more rehab and they're going to make a decision. So this guy had a lat injury. He never played for us yet. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't played for us yet. Not this year. $34 million over the offseason. That's how much they gave him. $34 million, and he hasn't proven that he can even pitch in the majors, bro. He can't pitch in the minors, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a.
That might be
trusting that his arm is okay, or he's, you know, mentally he still hasn't recovered from the injury. Yeah, who knows what it is? You say it was a lat injury?
Yeah, lat.
So that's what, your legs? Yeah, so you should be fine.
No, yeah, lat. Like, that's the upper body.
Oh, upper body. Okay, but it's not like it's not the key. It's not the main component to the arm. I mean, it's not like his Tommy John or elbow. But still. No,
but still, we gotta figure this out.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't watch minor league games. Maybe he just doesn't have control. My guess is control, because he's never been a flamethrower, you know? Like, you could tell some pitchers are flamethrowers and some guys are just control ability.
Yeah.
He seems more like a control ability. So his issue is control. And so I don't know if these guys can see the problem with the – see, because the problem you would like to have if you're the Mets is that these Manaea and Montas are killing it down there. That way, when there's time to come up, you can be like, okay, Canning, you're going to take a break now. You're going to go middle relief.
Yeah.
We'll replace you.
No, but we can't Peterson. Do that now. We can't do
not
that
replace
now.
Replace you. Just put him in the bullpen.
I know. No, we can't do that now. We can't do that now.
No, now because you can't.
We have too many injuries. No. So Blackburn, I mean. Blackburn is going to come into the rotation now. Manaea is going to have to come in.
Atlanta.
Yeah, he's going to have and he's gonna have to. So now we have Blackburn. So this is, we had a lot of pitching. All right. So now, hopefully Blackburn can turn into something. For us, you know, and we have Sean coming back. Hopefully Sean can come back strong like he did last year. Right? So then we have that. We have that to cover McGill and we have that to cover Coda, right? So
yeah,
that works, right? And then hopefully Mr. Stearns can get something for us in the off, you know, before the trade deadline. Yeah, exactly. Let's see. So I don't know. Because he has to get something for center field. We have to solidify center field, right? This has to happen now, okay? And I don't know. The way you guys are playing, you shouldn't get rid of Mullins now, because I think you have a shot to make the wild card. You know what I'm saying? So you shouldn't get rid of him because he's going to help you. I know I it's like, agree. No. Listen, you know what happened? Remember when the Angels, and I couldn't understand, the Angels had Ohtani, right, all the way to the last minute instead of getting rid of
him. Yeah.
Exactly. And got some prospects for him. You know what I'm saying? Especially for a team that was going somewhere. They did that shit. They kept him. And they,
well, the reason why I'm comfortable letting him go, because you have a couple prospect outfielders in the Dylan Beavers, Honeycutt, I think his name is Honeycutt, Vance Honeycutt. And then you have a guy named Enrique Bradfield. He's in AA, but he reminds you of Mullins. He's fast. You know, his bat is not as good as Mullins, but his defense is, he's going to be a good defender, but he's just not quite ready for the majors. So that's why, if you're going to get rid of people, get rid of people you know you're not going to re-sign. Like, they're not going to re-sign O'Hearn. You're not going to re-sign Mountcastle. You're not going to re-sign Mullins. You know, there's some other guys that they're not going to re-sign.
I mean, why not? Why not? Listen.
Why not? Why not?
Mullins he's getting old.
He's
31
years old.
I know.
That's
I know.
The issue. Age is against him.
No, but listen, if he takes a 2-year, you're going to say no to that?
Do like Alonso, get a 2-year, 1-year option, first year, one opt out after 1 year, you mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, why not? He's not going to take it, though, because if somebody offers him a five-year, he's going to take that with the quickness. He doesn't care who he plays for.
Yeah, because, see, the problem for the Mets, as far as competing-wise, for him, Philadelphia is a concern because they need an outfielder, too, and I've always heard rumors, but they want Mullins to upgrade their center field. So it's like, all right, so you got to figure out which team's going to give you the better deal as far as what balls are going to get.
No, but this isn't going to happen.
I know Baltimore wants pitching prospects.
Listen, Philly and the Mets are going to be fighting all the way through the winter as well, okay? Because when Alonso opts out of that 1 year, you know, after 1 year, which is this season right here, and Schwarber hits free agency, both teams are going to be fighting. I believe the Mets will go after Schwarber, because if I'm the Mets, I'm definitely going after Schwarber, because we don't have a true DH, and that could solve that problem right away. I would take him in a heartbeat, and I would
and
send Alonso away. Exactly.
You mean you let Alonso go?
No, I wouldn't let Alonso go. You crazy? Because if you let Alonso go, then you have to play Schwarber at first. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, if you're going to... Well, you got to figure out how much money... Are you going to tie it to two guys?
And you're matter, if, at, nah. If you're trying to beat the Dodgers, like, you're going to play.
Nothing big. But you're going to give up a lot of money. Oh, so you're going to look at 3 to 4 year deals for these two guys each. And then, you know, they're probably going to be one at least north of $20 million, you know, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think more.
I don't know. Alonzo at least 30. He's been more productive than Schwarber.
No, well, that's not true.
No.
They're both hitting. Alonzo's on a slump right now. You know, but we're not gonna talk about that.
He cooled down a little.
A lot. So I'm scared. I don't think we have it now. It's like we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, stick around for too long. This bad luck that we have right now. Atlanta's a tough out for us, man. For some reason, Atlanta always has that number. Listen, last year out of the 13 games, Atlanta won 7 of those games. And it's crazy because, you know, they went to that doubleheader last year for the last game of the season. And we both...
Seven out of six.
We split it. Yeah, we split that. So, it's crazy. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Your man Chris Sale, he went down with that stupid play trying to get Soto out. That shit made me angry.
Oh, when he went
to
run at the base? Yeah.
Yeah, no, he dove for it. He should have let that ball roll. Now he's out, bro.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You know, this guy was trade bait. Now that the Atlanta's playing like this and they're destroying the Mets, it's crazy. But good luck to him. Now he's not. Exactly.
He's their best ace. He's having a great year. He's their best ace.
Yeah. So we're talking about the hitter and the pitcher of the week.
Yeah, so the hitter of the week, I have two guys. The first guy is from the Athletics. I have it right here. His name is Jacob Lopez, pitcher of the week. The gunslinger of the week is Jacob Lopez of the Las Vegas A's. Sacramento A's, sorry. They're going to Vegas anyway. I'm confused. Anyway, on June 14th versus Kansas City, he pitched 6 innings, allowed 3 hits, and gave up no runs on 9 strikeouts. So he could be – they have a nice little rotation going. Their starting rotation is not that bad, believe it or not. They got Sears. They got Lopez. So they might have something going. They could just get some extra offensive bats. You know, they could be a good team in the next couple of years. And then for hit of the week is on the Colorado Rockies. Michael Taglia, I think his first name is Michael. Anyway, he went 3 for 5 and then went on June 15th versus the Washington the Washington Nationals in a 10-6 Colorado win. He went 3 for 5, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, and 2 runs. But Colorado has been a tough team lately. They've been playing pretty well, believe it or not. As you know, they're 1,000 games under 500, but they've snuck in. They won again today against Arizona, so they're not a guaranteed easy out. One thing, and look at Pittsburgh. You know, they freaking scored 8 runs against Texas today. You know, there's some teams you can look like, okay, like the White Sox, you know, they're not going to win. If you're betting, you can bet, okay, we'll bet whoever's playing White Sox. You know, you can bet Colorado's not going to win. You can bet Pittsburgh. Man, not so fast. Be careful what you do. You lose money.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen in baseball. It's kind of crazy like that. But,
that's the nice thing about baseball. 1 minute you're hot. You know, next minute you're shit as shit. And the next minute you're back to being hot. So
exactly,
is ebbs and flows. You know, right now, you know, the Orioles are, I guess, on the incline. I don't know. You know, I guess you could say the Mets. The Mets are not really on a decline. They're just like, you know, they're like a car that's stuck in the snow. They just can't get out. They're not in a decline. They're just stuck, and they need someone to pull them out. So maybe the guys, they get back.
So we're coming to the end of the show, guys, and I don't know what's gonna happen this week, man, but we're going to see. All right. You guys have a good night. And we'll see you in the next one.